Welcome to the Within You podcast. I'm your host and wellness big sis, Rebecca Lee. My mission is to help guide and empower you to grow into the best, most authentic version of you so that living and feeling your best life becomes effortless. Here on the Within You podcast, we will be diving deep on all things wellness, mindset tips, motivation, and living an overall holistic, healthy lifestyle. Think of this podcast as your daily dose of self-development, where a positive mindset and holistic wellness come together. Now, let's get into the episode, but before we do, don't forget that it all starts within you. Hello, my loves. I am so excited for you to listen to today's episode. And before we jump right into the episode, I wanted to tell you guys a little bit more about our amazing guest that we have on today, which is Olivia from Organic Olivia. If you don't know her, well, you really should, because she is such a wealth of knowledge, inspiration, good energy and vibes. Like, when I met Olivia from the start, I was like, wow, yeah, she is an incredible girl who really truly cares about every single thing that she does with her work and her energy and what she's putting out into the world. She's so genuine and actually has been somebody that I've been following personally for years. So she was one of my OG girlies, I guess, who introduced me to holistic health and that whole world. So this pod episode is truly a full circle moment for me. And I was so excited to bring her on. So I know you're gonna love, love, love everything we're gonna dive deep on in today's episode, with a lot of really good tangible tools to improve your overall health, wellness, mental health. We cover it all. If you're unfamiliar with Olivia's products, she does have an herbal tincture line, an herbal product line called Organic Olivia, with incredible products ranging from liver juice, mood juice, immune shroom, probiotic, glucobitters. Like, those are just the few that came to mind because those are the ones that I personally take. And I've been personally taking them for a long time now, literally for years since I started following Olivia, because they are just such an approachable way to wellness and to really making you feel good. Like, for me personally, I've been taking mood juice pretty consistently for the past month or two, and I just noticed that I'm in a better mood on a more day-to-day basis, which is amazing. So I highly recommend checking out her products too. We have a discount code for you guys. She was kind enough to provide one for our community, which is just code Rebecca. So feel free to check out Olivia's products. We'll have the link linked in the show notes, and you can use code Rebecca for a discount code. So without further ado, let's get into this episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome back to the pod. I am so beyond excited that you decided to tune in for today's episode, because today we have an incredible guest with us. Literally, I am so grateful that we connected a few weeks ago in LA, and one of these just amazing people out online right now. We have Olivia from Organic Olivia with us. Please say hello.
Hi, guys. Very nice to meet you. Pod family. Rebecca's pod family.
The Rebecca's pod family. I love it.
I love it. It is like a family. I feel like the podcast listeners are such a special group of humans. Like, they're really your ride or die. They get you. They're here for the long form convo.
Yes.
You guys are the real ones.
Yes. I agree with that 100%. My pod fam is so special to me because they just get it.
Yeah.
They're here.
Yeah.
So we are so excited to be interviewing you on the pod. Truly, Olivia, you were one of my first inspo. Like, I followed you 8-9 years ago. I'm talking about, like, insane. OG inspo. One of the main reasons why I got into holistic health and wellness, which is so crazy to even think about. And here we are, full circle moment, recording together in New York.
It's such an honor. I can't believe it's been that long. I'm really starting to call myself the grandmother influencer because my girlies are taking over. Rebecca's taking over the younger generation. I just love to see you guys flourish and share and, like, find your journeys and what works for you and share it to the younger audience in a new way. Not that I'm old. I mean, I'm 30.
Right.
But I've just been on the internet for so long, and I do think that like my audience is a bit older. We're having kids now. Mm-hmm. We're like settling down, whereas you're speaking to such an important group, an important age group of women who are really in the thick of finding themselves.
Yes.
Finding what works for them, maybe struggling with disordered eating, or, you know, just trying to find an identity in the wellness and food world that works for them. And it's the age when we're most impressionable. Mm-hmm. And you have such a sensible voice in the space that women really need. So
thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Thanks. And it is really cool. You're right, to see like this newer generation coming up of young women who are really interested in bettering themselves from the inside out.
Yeah.
Whether that's with food and nutrition, or, you know, their self-talk and their journaling, meditation practices. Like, we are becoming this new generation of aware women, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm really wanting, my mission is to like really lead that.
Yeah.
And to help show young women or anyone who's listening that like you can change your life from the inside out doing a bunch of different things. So anyways, that's
No, you guys are getting it at a younger age. Yeah. And that's magical. That means that like by the time you guys have kids, you're gonna be in such a solid place to be able to show and teach them.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful thing. Like each generation gets better, I think. Like we get a little bit better than our parents, and then we're still a little screwed up, and then our kids are a little bit better than us, and like it just keeps going. So each one teach one.
Definitely. So can you just tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you even started, how you started online on social media, and what kind of drove you to start posting about, you know, herbs, herbalism, everything that you do. So if you want to just give a quick little intro.
Yeah. So I grew up in a family where it was really all just like Western medicine. And in the time when it was all Western medicine, you know, like in the 90s, it was a lot of like packaged food. And if you did eat organic or whatever, you were definitely like a little bit fringe, a little bit of a hippie. And my whole childhood, I always had a lot of chronic health issues, chronic ear infections, a lot of stomach and digestive issues from the time I was born. I was a very colicky baby, had food allergies to every kind of formula, every kind of milk. I had to have like rice milk and nothing else. So I just always had a very sensitive gut and system. And I took a lot of antibiotics as a kid. That pink, delicious amoxicillin liquid antibiotic was my religion.
Yep, me too.
My parents used to literally, if I had to take antibiotic pills, they would crush it and put it in a Wendy's cheeseburger. Because that's all I would eat. That's all we did eat. We were a fast food family. My parents struggled with a lot of health issues, physical, mental. They were both very overweight. I was overweight as a child. And I remember like one time one of my best friends when I was younger, her family was very crunchy, right? Like they were just like ahead of the curve. They were very organic. And her little brother used to bully me. And he, like one time I was kayaking with him, and I was again like an overweight kid, and I fell off the kayak, and he was like, go eat another cheeseburger. And I was like, why don't you go eat organic? And, like, that was my comeback. And that's how far away I was from like the organic world. Oh my God. And how much I thought it was crazy. And I struggled a lot as a kid because of my body image and my weight and the inflammation that came with that, as well as my chronic digestive issues, which turned into chronic skin issues, which also led to, you know, mental health struggles because of the gut-brain axis. I had a lot of anxiety and depression. And so by the time I was in high school, I was on a lot of different pharmaceuticals. I was on antispasmodic medications for IBS. I was constantly on antibiotics like doxycycline for my acne. I was on mental health medications that I didn't respond to very well. I'm like a non-responder to SSRIs, for example. Oh, wow. So for some people, SSRIs are amazing and can really help with depression, but I had very much like treatment-resistant depression, and so did my mother. And I saw what her life was like and how much she struggled on a daily basis. And I just kind of felt like this is my only future. This is just how it is. People just take a lot of medications, and that's what it is. And then I went to college, and I started to get more into nutrition, and it was all because of my IBS. Cause I would notice, okay, you know, I'm taking this medication, but it doesn't always help. And, you know, I notice when I eat yogurt or when I eat peanut butter or when I eat, you know, XYZ like dairy, I'll have a really bad flare up. Like I used to be in the gym at Planet Fitness on the freaking Stairmaster, and I would have to get off and be curled up in pain because of how bad my IBS flares were. It was horrible. And it would be after I just had a yogurt or some kind of dairy. So in my mind, I was like, no, food and my gut are totally connected. Nutrition plays a role in this. But at the time, I was going to my gastro and specialists and everything, and they were saying, no, diet has nothing to do with your IBS. There's just absolutely nothing. And I would have them test me for different things. Well, maybe you can do a stool test. Maybe you can check for parasites or bacteria that's out of balance. I don't even think I had that language at the time. I just knew stool test.
Right.
And they would say, everything is normal. Everything is normal. And I was like, no, it's not, because when I take antibiotics for my skin, my gut symptoms get better. So there has to be some kind of bacteria in my gut that's messing with my digestion that the antibiotics are kind of helping to curtail. And it has to all be connected, because then I also feel better anxiety-wise. Like, I was just noticing what we know now is the gut, skin, brain axis. And I was thinking all of these systems in the body are connected, which is holistic health, holistic medicine. We are a whole. You can't cut the head off from the body. You can't cut the stomach off from the brain. You know, it's all connected. And I had a lot of doctors tell me that that just wasn't the case. And so I got into college. I wanted to study nutrition and help, you know, people with their mental health through nutrition. But I got into a college that only had pre-med. They didn't have a nutrition program. And so I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll just become a doctor. Like, sounds good. I'll just go full pre-med and go nuts. And I'll become a doctor and I'll help myself and I'll help others, because I'm not being helped by doctors right now. I just kind of keep getting put on more meds. And I entered this program and it was insane. It was like 9 classes, because you had to take lecture halls and you had to take labs as a pre-med student. And I was under so much stress and I was on a full scholarship. And that's the only reason I was able to even go to this college. And I was really, really, really so extremely stressed. And my body was just done. And I started to have really severe health symptoms. I started to get swollen lymph nodes. I started to faint in the shower. My liver enzymes were elevated. And my doctor was like, yeah, you know, you probably have an autoimmune disease, but we're not going to know for another 9 or 10 years. It's not going to show up in your lab work until then. You probably just have the early stages and not much I can do. Here, try this antibiotic. I literally got put on another antibiotic. And that antibiotic made me so sick. I remember I was in chem lab. I was so sick. I was itchy. I was literally getting like yellowing of my skin, like jaundice, because my liver was so done. My enzymes were so elevated from all the meds I was on. And I thought, I can't do this anymore. I remembered, you know what, Olivia? You drive by every day this acupuncturist's office that says like herbs and blah, 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 and acupuncture. Why don't you get in the car and go drive to that acupuncturist that you drive past? You've never tried it before. It's just crazy enough that it might work. And again, that no such thing existed in my family and my upbringing. Like, traditional Italian father who's just like, take your medicine.
Wow.
So I got in the car, left chem lab. I'm like shaking. I'm like, been constipated for 6 days, like unwell. Get in the car. I drive to this acupuncturist. I get in there. And he looks at me and he could tell that I was just disheveled, mind, body, spirit. And he said, stick out your tongue. And I was like, okay, I'll stick out my tongue, sir. And he looked at my tongue and he's like, oh my God, your poor liver. And I was like, wait, how do you know that? He freaked me out. And he's like, no, you have so much excess liver heat. You have dampness. He said, and I'm looking in your gut. You know, you have a lot of dampness in your gut. You have parasites, candida, like some yeast. He's like, you definitely have a lot of gut stuff going on. How's your digestion? And I'm like, horrible. Again, constipated for the last week. I have severe IBS. I'm not okay. And he was like, yeah, you got a lot of stuff going on in your gut and your liver. And I couldn't understand how this man could see this in my tongue without looking at any of my labs or my diagnoses. So I was like, all right, got to be something to this good old Chinese medicine thing. And he sent me home with a regimen. My regimen was this, it was an herbal formula for parasites and candida. It was Floor Essence tea. Have you ever heard of Floor Essence?
No.
Floor Essence is it's an offshoot of Essiac tea. Essiac tea is a blend of alternative detoxification supporting herbs that they use in integrative holistic cancer protocols. But it's just a really good overall, I would say, detox tea. I kind of hate the word detox nowadays because it's so convoluted. It supports your own detoxification organs in doing what they're supposed to do.
Right.
It just really encourages and gives you the nutrition and the nutrients and assists your own liver pathways. So it's a great detox tea, quote. And so he gave me that and he said every night I needed to take that tea in 2 ounces of cranberry juice, and I had to do X, Y, and Z and whatever. So I went home with this whole regimen. And again, at the time, not only had IBS, but really severe cystic acne, really severe anxiety. It was this whole gut, skin, brain. And my cysts were so bad on my back and on my face that they were like red and angry and inflamed. And within a week of drinking that tea and the cranberry juice and taking the herbs for the parasites and the candida, for the first time, those angry big red bumps just started to calm down and flatten. And I was like, what is this sorcery? I felt it in my body that I just had so much less heat and inflammation. Chinese medicine would call inflammation or infection heat. And that everything was just starting to cool down. And I could feel a shift in my body, in my mind, in my microbiome. I didn't know it at the time, but I felt the power of herbs.
Wow.
And I kept working with him, and I started to look into gut health and parasites and bacterial overgrowth. And I became really passionate about letting people know, hey, even if your stool test is negative at your gastro, you very well could have a bacterial imbalance that we now know is SIBO, for example. You very well could have parasites, something like Giardia, or perhaps even parasitic worms. It's not unheard of. Our pets have them.
Right.
We deworm our pets. We live with our pets. It's quite common, actually. And so I spent the next few years treating my IBS with herbs, with different practitioners, treating overgrowth of gut bacteria, treating parasites, treating yeast, just rebalancing my gut, and eventually completely got off my IBS meds, went into remission from my IBS, completely cleared my acne. And as I did this, I started blogging about it. Mm. This was like 2011, 2012. I was on Blogspot. I know, aging myself here. But it was like Blogspot. It was like an RSS feed you subscribed to. Yes. It was so archaic. And I would just write blogs about what I was learning or what I was trying, or did you know this about this herb? Did you know this about parasites? And I would just write because I felt like there was no resource at the time. And there really wasn't. We didn't have a wellness ecosystem on the internet.
Nope.
And then from there, Instagram came around. And as I would write blogs, I would actually just make Instagram posts of those blogs. I would do really long captions, and no one else was really doing that at the time. It was like a photo editing app. But I would put like my blog cover image, and I would write the whole caption, and I'd say, read the rest at the link in my bio. And I would just direct people to my blog. And I just used Instagram as like an information hub instead of for pictures. And it really worked, and it really resonated with people. And I just kind of started to become this, not even like a teacher at the time, but I was teaching others through me digesting my own learnings. Mm. And I realized that what I was sharing was starting to really help people. And I'd have people come and say, hey, I tried what you said for acne and I'm starting to get better, or whatever, I tried this herb that you recommended or this thing for my skin and it's clearing. And so I just thought, I need to learn how to do this for real. Eventually found my herb school, Arbor Vitae School of Traditional Herbalism. I did a 3-year clinical program, learned how to be a true clinical herbalist, worked at our clinic in Harlem, saw clients, learned how to formulate, work with plant medicine for real, make my own formulas, launched my company, and here we are.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a story. I actually didn't even know your whole, like, I knew part of it, yeah. But this whole journey starting from when you were a kid,
yeah,
is so fascinating.
Yeah.
So fascinating and so funny because I can totally relate. I grew up completely on chicken nuggets and french fries, mm-hmm. Not eating healthy, nothing at all whatsoever. And it's so funny hearing more about your journey and kind of what you went through, because that's exactly how I found you. So yeah. For me, I was about 18, 19 years old, around the same age that you were talking about. And I was struggling with IBS. And I went to doctor after doctor after doctor, and no one could help me. They were like, yeah, maybe just, you know, try a low FODMAP diet, or just limit your stress. Just be less stressed.
Or like take this antidepressant, or right. Like it's like,
and yeah, or take this antibiotic.
Yeah. And granted, 100%, like that, the mind does have an effect on the gut, yes. But it's a bi-directional relationship, and we got to hit both, and that's not always the right way to go, and that's just a band-aid for some individuals.
Exactly. And so my problem was that I kept running into roadblock after roadblock. Nothing was working because these doctors kept failing me. And then that's when I found your blog, and I was like, whoa,
you can heal your gut, you can heal IBS, you can heal your body from the inside out.
Yeah.
That's when I fell in love with holistic health and traditional Chinese medicine and all these different like Eastern philosophies that were like mind-blowing to me at the time, because mm-hmm. no one was helping me. Nothing else was helping. And yeah. so you were such like a beacon of information at the time, like really learning more about like even the most like little things, like drinking warm water instead of ice cold water. And I'm like, wow, that can help my stomach and yes. it helps my bloating. Like all of these little things were so fascinating at the time.
Yes. Just the power of ginger tea, mm-hmm. like little simple things. That's why I had to do the blog, because I'm like, these are cheap, inexpensive, real things, food as medicine, that are really making a difference for me. I know it's going to help at least one person out there. So that makes me so happy that that's how you found me and that it helped.
Yes. No, yeah. it really made such a big difference, because you're right. It was a completely different landscape at the time. Like the wellness world online, like this was still more like out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
So I just vividly remember that time. And so
It was a little yeah. fringe. Like yeah. it was kind of like, is this real? Like now wellness is so normalized. Right. But I was kind of like, I'm speaking out against the system. Like,
no, it was such a beautiful thing that needed to happen on the internet at the time. And I'm so grateful that you were there, especially when I needed it. And I just have to know, like now looking back, did you ever imagine when you were writing your little blog post that you would be living the life and with the company and the things, the socials that you have now today? Like, what did you think when you first started?
Yeah, no way. Because Instagram, again, did not exist when I started blogging. It wasn't right. even a thing. I had a Facebook and like just used it to say happy birthday. So there was no concept of an influencer. And even the term influencer, I think, came out around 2015 or 2016. Mm-hmm. And I had already been on Instagram at that time. And I never felt like I fit into that picture either, or like that definition either. It almost, even to this day, like I guess I'm an influencer now. I mean, I am what I am. But it just, I always felt like I was an educator and that that's what I was there to do. And I didn't know that it could lead to a business. And even when I started to make my own herbal formulas, my goal, my driving force behind that was just to make the best possible version of the tools that I wish I had access to when I first started. Mm. So that someone could just cut out those months and years of research and visits to different practitioners and just put something together that would actually address the root cause or ease the symptoms and the daily experience of what I was experiencing, depending on what formula it is. And I just wanted to give those tools to people so that they didn't have to search and spend so much time and money. So I just wanted to make good versions of things that people could trust. And I made them in very small batches. And I never put a dollar into marketing until I think like 2021 or 2022. Like we never used a Google ad, a Meta Facebook ad. Now we run an Instagram ad or a Facebook ad to tell people, hey, we have this new formula, whatever. It's part of a marketing strategy for a business. Now I have a whole freaking business. But we never had to do that because it was all so organic and it was all so word of mouth. And it was just our community just organically being like, hey, this girl is doing this from her heart and knows what she's doing and really helps me. You should try this. Yes. And it was magical. We grew so slowly. We still are growing very slowly. We've never had an investor. I don't have any outside input or people controlling me or anything like that. And we have a small team and we still do it from the ground up and from the heart.
Wow. So beautiful. And I think that people can feel that energy, right? People can feel that energy online when it comes to a business or a social media page. And that's exactly why I fell in love with like your products and what your message and everything. I remember your first line of herbal tinctures, like the big one with the liver juice, yeah. the peace juice, the anxiety one, mood juice. I bought all of them. Literally, I was a junior in college. I'll never forget. I had like a whole little stash of it because it never felt like it was like pushing a product. It was genuinely from the heart of like, yeah. this actually is what I wish I could have had. And I find that that's how I've always approached socials as well, of being like, this is something I wish I had known earlier yeah. on in my journey. And so yeah. people can feel that energy versus just trying to like push something. And I think that that is a huge contributor
yeah.
to where you are today.
Yeah. You really have to like be putting people on, putting your friends that follow mm-hmm. you on, versus just trying to make money off of your following. That's crazy. That's right. That's such a short game versus the real long thing is to just do things that are going to add value to people's lives, share things or sell or make things that are actually going to add value to people's lives in the long run. And that's another thing. In my quote influencing career, I didn't take any sponsorships. Like even just this last year, I started to do a little bit more of affiliate partnerships with a few brands that I've actually used for years, that I have specific deals with where they're not paying me to say anything. I'm only making commission. Like I don't like to be paid to say something. Mm-hmm. So I never ever did a sponsorship in all my years of influencing. I didn't monetize my platform in any way until I came out with my own products. Cause I said, hey, I don't want to lose people's trust by being like, ooh, I have this following now. I need to just make a quick buck while I can. I always had the relationship with my customers and friends in mind and wanted to make sure that however I did eventually make a living from all the hard work that I was putting in, it was from my own brand, my own ideas, things that I make and vet and know are good and can really sleep well at night knowing that you've put your dollars into.
Wow. Wow. That's so beautiful because you really don't find that much anymore online. And it's sad, but it's really beautiful to even see you speaking about it. It's like, genuinely, I can feel your passion. I can feel from the heart and soul. It's like, this is what you're meant to be doing.
I love it. It's so fun. It's so fun to have my community say, hey, I'm really struggling with this thing. Like right now I'm working on a two-part formula for PCOS. Because for the last few years, I've been getting so many messages from women who are struggling with PCOS. Oh, it is everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It sucks. It's really affecting people's fertility, their mental health, their metabolic health. And in the last few years, I had a little personal experience with that. I was actually diagnosed with prediabetes a few years back because I was just in my work and be a CEO mode and I wasn't moving as much as I needed to. And I was taking my herbs, but I wasn't necessarily doing the other things that I needed to do to be really healthy. And I kind of like fell off the wagon essentially in the whole of entrepreneurship and meetings and all that. And I started to have symptoms and markers of PCOS. And I was like, wait, this is what my community's talking about. This really sucks. And from that day on, I started working on solutions and researching. And I'm very close to releasing my PCOS formulas. But that's what's so rewarding is having so many people come to you and say, like, this is affecting my quality of life. Can you help? And being able to not only give them information first, a ton of blog posts on PCOS, on diet, on nutrients, on lifestyle changes, but then also be able to make a formula or a protocol that can help them on a root cause level to really affect deep change with herbal medicine. It's amazing what herbs can do. And also sometimes herbs aren't the full picture or aren't what someone needs. Sometimes they really need to change their diet or change their lifestyle or manage their stress or deal with childhood trauma. And that's why I still spend so much time and resources on my blog and on my podcast, because my company's always been education first. And also, here's the best of the best tool if you want to take a supplement.
Yes, 100%. I mean, that's the basis of holistic health. That's what we love. It's like looking at everything from a very holistic standpoint, but herbs are definitely something so, so powerful.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've seen experiences with it. I love them. So I know that everyone listening, I'm sure, would love it too. So yeah. I'm excited to dive a little bit deeper into some of your favorite products. But before we do, I want to go back a little bit because you mentioned that you were in a stage of pre-diabetes.
Yeah.
Had some metabolic health issues. Let's talk about that. What was going on and how did you get out of that?
Oh my God. It's crazy because with health, right? There's always that meme that's like, healing isn't linear. Like, remember that.
Yeah.
And then there's another meme that's like, me, healing isn't linear. And then it's me when healing isn't linear. And it's like this girl going crazy because it's so easy to say that.
Yeah.
But then in practice, when you really see that, hey, sometimes you heal one thing, you know, like I fixed my gut, I fixed my acne. But then after that, I had a whole new set of issues because the ball dropped in another area of my life. You see that you get better here and then life happens and stress happens and things happen and then you get worse in this area and then you have to fix that and you learn so much from fixing that your health gets up here and then you have a stressful period and it's a constant ebb and flow. So after initially, like I said, healing my gut and my skin, I went straight into building my blog and writing every day and creating formulas and being in school again. And it was a really stressful time and I was behind a desk all the time. And I was working and building a company is not easy.
Oof.
Being a CEO is the worst. Like, I wish I could sit up here and do like a business women empowerment episode with you. Like how amazing it is to be a boss babe. I personally hate it.
Yeah.
I don't like performance reviews. Yep. I don't like telling people what they're doing well or what they're doing bad. I it's really hard to lead and manage a team. So that's always been really stressful to me. I like to be the creative, the herbalist. And I was struggling as much as I was very happy for all of the success and all the people that I was helping.
Right.
So I wasn't exercising. I was also really deep in that time at unpacking a lot of my childhood trauma. So I was doing a lot of therapy. I was doing a lot of, you know, exploring in that realm and figuring out why my relationship with myself sucked so much and why I hated myself and why I had this inner voice that was so mean to me, even though I was doing good things in my life and experiencing success. And that's really what your 20s are for, you know, like this
100%.
Is 20s are hard, hard. So I was in that, I was like 25 to, I guess, like, yeah, 25 to 28 ish is when this happened.
Yes.
And yeah, I was struggling. And it's funny because it's like, yeah, you could see someone with so much success in one area of their life and then they're really struggling in another. And my metabolic health started to suffer. I wasn't active. I wasn't running the way that I was in college or going to Planet Fitness or the gym, or I wasn't keeping up any kind of an exercise routine. I was just trying to survive at that point. And I started to gain a lot of weight. I also lived in an apartment that had mold in it, and that really threw my metabolic health for a loop.
Oh my gosh.
Caused so much fatigue and just like immune and histamine issues. And I feel like I woke up one day and was like, how did I get here? Like, I know so much about health. I know exactly the protocol to give someone else to help their issues, but you kind of have that blind spot sometimes when it comes to yourself.
Totally.
And I was 30 pounds overweight. I was fatigued, like walking up a flight of steps. I wasn't doing too great. And people would notice it. People would make comments and be like, hey, like, you know, you're like this health expert and like your advice is amazing and your formulas are great, but like, you don't look the healthiest. Like, it was actually kind of wild. Yeah. Because it's like, you can't really hide it. You look the way you look. And you know, your metabolic health shows even in like the inflammation in your face. You know, my face was a lot rounder. I was just struggling with my metabolism. And so I started going to this new doctor, my doctor now, who's Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, who's amazing. And she ran my labs. I had avoided seeing a doctor for a few years. She ran my labs and she was like, okay, your blood sugar is high. Ooh. And it's not just like functionally high. It's like 110, 115. Like, you're getting into the pre-diabetic range. So my blood sugar was high. My A1C was high. She did some deeper testing and my fasting insulin was high. My DHT was high, which is a male hormone, a form of testosterone that can be elevated when you have early signs of PCOS.
Ooh.
My cycles were getting a little longer and more painful. And at this same time, part of my stress load was that my mom is very ill with Alzheimer's disease. She's in the late stages. It's all good. I have come to a place of like understanding and deep compassion for her. And I've finally started to truly grieve and have a healthy relationship with that. And that's something that's so important, honestly. Like, I was holding in a lot of that as well.
Yeah.
Like, that contributed to my health and inflammation at the time because I didn't want to accept it. But what finally got through to me is that my Dr. Gabrielle Lyon said to me, listen, you see where your mom is, right? Alzheimer's doesn't start in your 50s or 60s. Alzheimer's starts at your age now with your metabolic health. Wow. Alzheimer's is type 3 diabetes. It is insulin resistance of the brain. And if you don't get your blood sugar under control now, if you don't build muscle, she didn't even tell me to lose weight. She never mentioned my weight. She did an in-body scan and she said, you don't have enough muscle tissue on your body to have a healthy response to glucose and carbohydrates. That's what she said to me. And I love her for it, because if she came to me from, you're overweight, you need to lose 20 pounds, I would have been like, okay, and? Like, that's not going to help me.
Right.
She came at me from this lens of, you need to put muscle on, you are an athlete, you can do this, and when you put muscle on, you will give your brain a much better chance to not have the future that you're seeing your mom have right now. And that blew my mind. That changed my life. That gave me the motivation that I needed. Because again, at the time, I was really struggling also with my relationship for myself. I didn't really care about myself. And honestly, like, looking good and looking snatched and hot was not enough for me at the time to make changes, because I just didn't like myself. I didn't have the will to care for myself in that way. But when she phrased it as like, look at your future, look at how you're going to age and what's going to happen to your partner if that's also their load when you're at that age, look at what your dad's going through, you have a chance to make that better, possibly prevent or delay or change that outcome by changing your metabolic health. That was all I needed to hear. And it woke me up and it really made me start taking care of myself. And I focused on becoming the athlete that she said I was. I laughed at her so hard, but I was like, you know what? Fine. Like, I am going to do that. I want to be strong. I want to feel strong. I don't want to feel like this like weak, sad person anymore who's just always stressed and focused on stress. I want to feel resilient in the face of stress. I want to feel like I can do this, and I want to fix my labs. I want to fix my blood sugar, because this can't happen. And I changed my entire life, and it took a long time. I started with just walking, because I would go to the gym and I was miserable and I was sore for 4 days, because when you're insulin resistant like that, you have so much inflammation that just one lifting session, one workout can leave you in so much pain for the week.
Wow.
So I started slow. I started with walking. I saw a lot of results from walking. I started to just change my diet, add more veggies in place of things like carbohydrates, because when you're insulin resistant, you have a lower carbohydrate tolerance than other people. So low carb is not a forever thing, but you do have to temporarily lessen your carbohydrates to fix your insulin sensitivity. So I started to just make little replacements, add more veggies to my plate instead of more rice. Then I started with Pilates, and that started to really build up like those tinier muscles, those supporting muscle groups. I started to feel more empowered. And then finally, I started lifting in the gym, and really I made myself a plan for insulin resistance and prediabetes. I researched every herb under the sun that had evidence-based research to help resensitize my body to insulin and control my blood sugar. I looked at things like vinegar, which has also been shown to lower blood sugar and help you utilize glucose. And I had this bright idea to make a vinegar tincture that had all of the blood sugar balancing herbs, but they were steeped in vinegar instead of alcohol, so I could have a 2-for-1 punch.
Ooh.
And I started to take this herbal blood sugar balancing vinegar before all of my meals, totally changed my diet around, and finally took Dr. Lyon's advice to eat a shit ton of protein.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I first started working with her, she was telling me I needed to eat 140 to 160 grams of protein a day.
That's a lot.
Which is so much. And I was like, no, 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 you're crazy. I'm just going to start with the walking and Pilates. And I didn't listen to her for a while. This is why it took me like 3 years to get these results and to really kick it into high gear. But I finally got real about it. I finally upped my protein. I started working with a nutritionist that was able to show me what meals that would lead to 140 grams of protein total would look like. I started to see how much I was overeating on things like fat. I actually didn't, like, I didn't realize that you can't put half an avocado with every meal. Like, that's actually a lot of grams of fat and a lot of energetic currency, a lot of calories that could be going towards protein. And it's funny because my taste buds changed too. I used to need fat or like an aioli or an avocado on everything. And now I'm like, oh, I don't need that at all. I have such a simpler palate now. So it took me a while to change that. I had to face a lot of my food addiction during this period because, like I said, growing up, I was overweight. My family was always overweight. We've had a lot of challenges with food. And food was how I bonded as a child. And it was also how I learned you de-stress or unwind. And my mom and I used to have like these like marathons of eating in front of the TV, and we would go to CVS and she'd be like, okay, diet starts tomorrow, but tonight we're gonna buy everything and eat everything. And she had a really disordered relationship with food and really bad binge eating disorder. So I just kind of picked up on that, and I was a binge eater, and that was a big part of my problem, was not just the lack of protein and, you know, the makeup of my plate, but it was that at the end of the day I was binge eating almost every night, and it was just all I knew in order to emotionally regulate. So thank God during those years I had also been in 3, 4, 5, 6 years of therapy at the same time, because it helps prepare me for the food addiction that I had to face when I truly decided to change my diet, because that was the hardest part. The hardest part wasn't calculating my macros and putting it on a plate. The hardest part was like, okay, I'm sitting here and I'm not getting the dopamine hit and the brain pleasure from food. And so I actually have to feel some of the pain that I'm in, and I can't just numb with cookies anymore. I can't, like, that was always my drug of choice among other things. But, that was like my family's drug of choice. So it was hard to break that familial neural pathway. And I did it. And I lost 30 pounds. I started weightlifting, ate a ton of protein, took my herbal vinegar that's now in my line, Gluco Bitters. We were taking it the other morning. And I totally reversed my insulin resistance and my blood sugar. My blood sugar is now 78 fasting, which is insane. Wow. From 115. Yeah. And my fasting insulin was cut by more than half. My hormones are on point. And I'm living proof that you can do it. It just takes a long time and takes a lot.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is quite a journey. And I feel like we can go through these journeys. You're so right. We battle the IBS, the skin, and then something else comes up. And it's like learning how to really handle what you're going through at the moment and that time. And I can relate a lot. Like having my own business too, we can put these things on the back burner, like our workouts, our nutrition, these things that obviously I know all about, but then yeah. When it comes to yourself, we can be a little like hypocritical. So that's amazing. And I do love that you create formulas based on what you're actually going through. It's not like you're just like, oh, I'm going to create this thing. You're like, no, I literally am going through this. So I'm going to create Gluco Bitters.
Yes. Yes.
And I know we took it the other day and I need to start taking it like regularly because I do think that it would help me a lot too, especially since I have been more stressed lately.
Yeah.
So what other benefits would you say helped you with that
the formula? Thing is that even though I was clinically pre-diabetic, right?
Yeah.
A lot of Americans have, quote, normal fasting blood sugar levels. They're not pre-diabetic. But even those normal, healthy American adults, 80% of American adults experience abnormal glucose spikes in response to normal foods like bagels, pasta, and cereal, right? Things like that where they're empty, naked carbs. Maybe not empty carbs, but naked carbs, right? There are carbs where if you're just eating a bagel for breakfast and you're not having Greek yogurt or a protein shake or eggs or something on the side of that, and you're having those carbohydrates alone, especially to your point when you're stressed, especially when you're close to your cycle, in your luteal phase or on your actual period, the body's already knocked out of homeostasis, so we have less marbles to give towards blood sugar regulation, right? Like less nutrition that the body's willing to part with to regulate our blood sugar. And like less reserves essentially. So anybody can use Gluco Bitters before a carb heavy meal where you know, okay, usually I'm going to be smart. I'm going to pair half a bagel with a bunch of eggs and maybe a little avocado and some yogurt and some berries, right? I'm going to have a balanced breakfast of carb, fat, and protein to prevent blood sugar spikes. There's some days where you just want a bagel.
Yep.
Which is fine. And that's why I wanted to make Gluco Bitters, not just for my own journey, for someone who clinically needs it, but for anyone who's like, hey, I'm now aware of the science around balancing my blood sugar. I'm aware of the importance of it. I know the times of the month when my body's not as good at balancing my blood sugar or when I'm stressed. And I'm going to make an informed decision to eat this bagel that's absolutely delicious or eat this dessert or have this cookie for dinner because I just can't today.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to take Gluco Bitters in a shot of water beforehand to help my body process that glucose more effectively and not have as much of an inflammatory response to it.
Genius. And I love how your whole philosophy is about adding things in. So it's like, maybe you want the bagel, but add some protein with it.
100%.
You want the cookie? Okay, add Gluco Bitters to help your body respond better to it.
Or Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
That's something I say all the time. I'm like, you want a brownie or a piece of cake? You know how good it would be actually to put some, you know, non-fat, unsweetened, plain Greek yogurt next to that and kind of like eat it like a little whipped yogurt with the cake or whatever. Just eat it beforehand and then eat the cake. There's things you can add in that give you more nutrition and more protein. And then maybe you'll find that halfway through the piece of cake, you're satiated.
Yeah.
A lot of times when we're craving sugar or craving a piece of cake or a cookie, it's because we're really stressed. It's because in Chinese medicine, our spleen qi needs grounding or it needs energy because we're exhausted. It needs nutrition. It needs protein instead of just sweet. Because also in Chinese medicine, protein rich foods like meats or yogurt have a bit of a naturally sweet flavor. So sometimes our bodies confuse a craving for protein with a craving for sweets, but actually protein would really help us with that hankering. So you might find that if you just have a little bit of protein first, before you also allow yourself to indulge in the cookie or the sweet, that you just are more satiated. You don't want all of it, or you're just really happy with that one cookie that you had and don't want to keep going. Because that was my problem. I felt like I could never even have cookies in the house because I had one and I wasn't going to stop. Mm. My brain was not satiated. I not only had the food addiction piece because of the nervous system regulation part where I was used to regulating with food, but I also had this lack of satiation, this lack of nourishment where my body genuinely needed more protein. Mm. And now that I eat enough protein, especially at breakfast, that is the number one thing that has helped me to stop binge eating.
Wow.
Humans and animals exhibit something called protein prioritization. It's a biological phenomenon, and it's where we will have an urge to continue feeding until our protein requirements are met.
Wow.
And our protein requirements are a lot higher, again, than we think they are. Ideal for preserving your lean muscle mass is 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. So let's say I'm 120, 125 pounds, that's 125 grams of protein per day. So when we don't hit that threshold, or when we don't front load protein in the earlier part of our day and consume adequate protein, by the time we get to 6 p.m., 7 p.m., of course, all we can think about is cookies, because our brain is like, we got to keep feeding until we get this protein. We need nutrition. We need protein. And protein is the most satiating macronutrient, and it helps the body, but also the brain, feel safe and stop seeking. So I've found that eating enough protein has not only helped me with my relationship with food and binge eating, it's helped me when it comes to seeking other substances as well, like that I've leaned on as a crutch, for example, cannabis. I smoked cannabis every day for 10 plus years and couldn't really stop until I started nourishing myself and eating enough protein, because my brain was like, oh, wait, we're good.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible that even just something like a macronutrient like protein can have such a big impact.
Yeah.
On you and your life. And I'm definitely inspired to start upping my protein after this episode. But I do know that a lot of my listeners and a lot of the girlies struggle with their relationship with food. Yes. They struggle with binge eating. I used to struggle with binge eating. Is there anything else that you did, maybe from like a more emotional aspect, that really helped you kind of curb that addiction almost?
1,000%. Yeah. I'll say that food is the protein is the foundation. Mm-hmm. You want your body to be biologically safe.
Definitely.
And before I get into the emotional stuff, I'll just give an example, because you and I talked about this at breakfast the other day. We all know about the craze around Ozempic, right? Mm-hmm. And as an example, Ozempic is, the active ingredient is semaglutide, which is a GLP-1 agonist. It stimulates our GLP-1 receptors, and it also doesn't degrade. So it keeps our GLP-1 receptors lit up for a really long time. And our GLP-1 is a gut peptide hormone that is responsible for satiation and safety, not only within the gut, okay, I'm full, I'm fed, I'm safe, but also within the brain, I'm safe. I don't need to seek for anything else. And we know Ozempic's really good at stimulating GLP-1 because people who are on it are not hungry, right? It's actually quite effective, and it has metabolic benefits as well. When your GLP-1 is stimulated, your blood sugar is actually lower and your insulin resistance is better. So it's a very effective drug. However, for most of us, there are so many natural things that stimulate our own endogenous GLP-1 receptors to a lesser extent, like a high protein meal. And if it's a high fiber, high protein meal, our GLP-1 is stimulated even more. And now they're studying Ozempic for addiction. They're looking at it for alcoholism, because they find that people on Ozempic don't want to drink alcohol anymore, even when they're alcoholics.
Wow.
So again, that's that gut brain satiation piece of, I'm safe. I don't want to keep seeking for a reward. I'm good. And when you eat a higher protein diet, higher fiber diet, and you stimulate your own nature's Ozempic, your own GLP-1, your brain also feels safer when it comes to your own vices or addictions, whether that is alcohol or whether that's food and binge eating. And so that's why biologically, just starting with the protein piece, eating enough protein to stimulate your own gut peptide hormones of satiation is so important, because it makes the brain feel satiated when it goes to the things that we reach for comfort and safety. So that's piece number one, protein's key. However, the emotional regulation piece is really big too. And if you don't address the underlying trauma and reasons why your body is looking to binge eat or overeat to keep you safe, then you're never really fully going to get to the root. Mm. And at the end of the day, I have so much compassion for the part of me and the version of me that was binge eating, because she was literally doing anything to just like survive, to just like exist in a body that was really uncomfortable and had all these emotions that I wasn't feeling and I didn't know how to sit with and I didn't have the capacity to experience because they were so uncomfortable. And those years of eating a sleeve of cookies really helped me to get by. And so emotional and nervous system regulation techniques are really key. I started to, when I'd have that urge to binge eat, I would try to see how long I could sit with that feeling. Even if I did end up reaching for the cookies, mm-hmm. even if I did end up going for the jar of peanut butter, I would see how long can I sit with this and can I explore it? Can I get curious about it? What is it that I'm feeling? Am I sad? I would actually look at an emotion chart. I think emotion charts are really helpful. You can find one on Google and print it out. But they give you these deeper and more nuanced adjectives to help you identify some of the things that you're feeling that words like sad or bored don't really cut.
Yeah.
And help you to get curious with yourself and meet yourself and have a relationship with yourself on a deeper level. And I found that a lot of my binge eating, number one, was exhaustion. It was because I'm a person who's extroverted, but also very introverted. I'm an ambivert. And I need a lot of alone time. And I need a lot of time of recuperation to balance all that I'm doing out in the world. And so a lot of times I would want to binge eat when I, you know, stayed out too long with friends and was just like totally exhausted and giving too much of myself. Or when I wasn't taking time to have a bath instead or unwind or have a massage instead or give myself a massage, right? Actually connect and touch myself. I needed more rest sometimes, and I was just eating because my body was like, well, if we're going to keep going, we need a lot of fuel. And we also need to regulate because we're uncomfortable with continuing to push. So that was a piece of it. And then it was just, again, developing that relationship with myself and asking, what am I feeling right now? What do I need? Can I breathe through this? Do I need to cry? Is there a feeling coming up here that I am wanting to step down, but I have just maybe a little bit more room to experience? Can I feel where that's coming up in my body? Maybe it's in my stomach. Maybe it's in my throat. Maybe I can find a song on my playlist that helps me to feel it a little bit deeper if I can't access it too much. And it was just kind of giving myself that time to be with me and explore what was happening and what was coming up, because the urge to binge eat was a message that something needed to be addressed and that I was uncomfortable. So it was learning, how can I be my own friend and help myself feel seen and witnessed and comfortable when I am feeling so alone and dysregulated?
Wow. I love everything you just said. That answer is so spot on. I mean, first off, around the fact that you even said, like, you have a lot of compassion for that girl who is just trying to get by, you know? And I think a lot of us can be so hard on ourselves. Like, we get so hard about the fact that maybe we are craving a binge, you know, episode or having a hard time with our relationship with food. And I know so many of us struggle with just even being kind to ourselves. So thank you for just even saying that, like, hey, she was just trying to get by, and I have compassion for that version of me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. 100%. And I do think that those desires and that binge eating, like, it's never about the food, right? It's a message that we need to confront something else. I always say that. For me personally, my relationship with food, it all stemmed back to my relationship with myself, how I was feeling about myself, what was going on in my internal world.
Yes.
And it just got expressed through that external world, such as food.
It's expressed through a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, our internal landscape is expressed in how messy our house is, our food choices, our, like, how we're keeping up with our to-do list or, like, not, like, you know, our organization. Like, I can always tell, I'm like, oh, my house is starting to get really messy. Like, I'm not okay. Yeah. I need to check in. I need to schedule a therapy session. I need to, like, take a day and like, recoup and work with myself and be with myself. What's going on here? I'm moving too fast and something's going on. There's so many messengers in our environment and in our body. Our symptoms are really speaking to us. And unfortunately, because of the fast-paced lives that we live, it's hard to slow down and listen.
Extremely hard. Extremely. So I appreciate all of that. And I do know that you are someone who's very, you know, tapped into themselves spiritually, emotionally. And so I want to even kind of dive deep a little bit on this episode of what spiritual or emotional practices or tactics or things that you do and live by that you think somebody listening could really use to help with their overall emotional being, because we do know that holistic health includes a lot of our emotional and spiritual selves too. And I love that you can kind of see all facets of the beings, you know, it's not just physical, not just mental, we have emotional, spiritual. So I'm curious if there's anything that you do that you think could help someone.
Man, I do so much. I mean, you know, I'm like, let me connect you with my psychic. Yeah. Let me connect you with my breathwork girl. Like, it's like, I do a lot.
We went to coffee the other day and Olivia was like, oh, you should talk to this person. Go to this person. Go to that spa. Go to this spiritual girl. And I was like, damn, you're such a wealth of knowledge. I need to learn more.
Well, you know what? It's because I tried to do it alone for so long.
Ooh.
And I realized no man is an island and healing does not happen in a silo. It really doesn't. And community plays a big role in healing. Like, let me start off by saying one spiritual, emotional thing I do is friend time.
Ooh.
Actually, two things, alone time and friend time. I know I said that you can't heal alone, but I think that's very necessary in our modern world of stimulation. So alone time where you're being your own friend, not just alone time on your phone, friend time, you're taking yourself out on a date, you're maybe solo traveling, you're making a face mask or listening to a playlist, you're singing with yourself, something like that. And then friend time. Friend and family time is very, very, very healing. And we have so many studies showing us the anti-inflammatory benefits of true social connection and how our actual inflammatory cytokines, true biomarkers, get lowered after time with not only friends and family, but even after interactions with strangers at a coffee shop.
Mm.
Those things are so important to our mental and emotional well-being. So that's number one, because I want to always give people like the easy and free places to start first. Then I realized that I can't do it alone. It actually doesn't. Breathwork doesn't hit the same when I'm just doing it by myself at home, especially when I'm starting out, versus when I'm doing it with someone, whether it's a group or a one-on-one teacher that can witness me. And being witnessed is so powerful.
Wow.
I saw this acupuncturist the other day. I was in California and she was this really cool acupuncturist who was also a physical therapist. So like her style was really funky and she's like looking at my spine and stuff. And we just started talking because I asked her, you know, I said to her, I'm traveling here in California and I feel like every time I come to California, I have like my life falls apart or my body falls apart. And all of a sudden these emotions that I didn't realize come up or these realizations that I've been refusing to see come into my consciousness.
Yes.
Or I have like a flare up of something and my body's talking to me. Why is it that that doesn't happen in my daily life at home, but it happens when I'm traveling? And she said to me, well, the interesting thing I found is that in order to have true emotional healing when it comes to the emotions that are trapped in our body and our trauma and our neural pathways and all of that and the things that exist under the surface, you either need another party to witness you. You either need a container where there's another human holding space for you so that those emotions exist in the room and are validated and they can actually just hold you through that, hold you through your own process. Like that, we are social creatures and that is necessary. You can't do it alone. She says, so maybe it's because you're around other people that you trust, or you're just in a different container where you're witnessed and seen differently. She said, or sometimes when you're out of your daily routine and you're in a new place, a new actual physical space that can hold a different space or a different consciousness for you, all of a sudden these things that you need to see come up. So she just got me thinking so much about like the importance of being witnessed. And I could never be at the level that I'm at now if I didn't have different practitioners holding the vision for me and witnessing me. If I didn't have my doctor say to me, oh, you're going to be great. You're an athlete.
Yeah.
And just not even think about a single excuse I was making at her. She was like, I'm not hearing that. You're an athlete. You're going to be in perfect health in X amount of time. And I see it for you. And I'm holding that for you. Right? Like, having other people hold that vision for us until we can rise up and meet it is key. You can't just like manifest that alone. You actually need community to see that for you too. But also having other practitioners like my therapist, like breathwork practitioners, like my lymphatic therapist, like all of these people, like my spiritual healer who I do like meditation with every week. All of these different practitioners have given me a container where they're not fixing me. They're not telling me what to do. They're not giving me the insights. They're not saying, oh, you're really angry this week because you need to see X, Y, Z. They're giving me the space in which it feels safe for me to see those things.
Mm.
And for me, that is like the ultimate spiritual healing. Even to just have friends who are into the same spirituality that you're into that are able to process with you when you're going through something or realizing one of your patterns or going through a tough time where you guys can process together. It's just, that's so important. So I don't know if that even answers your question, but I do breathwork therapy, meditation, and music and art, I think, are really important.
Beautiful. No, it definitely does. And I love how you touched on a bunch of different things, from as simple as hanging out with your friends.
Yeah.
You know, leaning on support, leaning on other people, like finding a community of like-minded people that you really can lean on and you have similar spiritual practices, for example. I think that's helped me a ton, especially yeah. with my whole journeys and what I've gone through, is like finding other people who can understand
yes.
and can relate.
Going to spaces like the ones you're creating, you know what I mean? Like that's yeah. what, that is like what's so magical about the work that you're doing and the fact that you're branching out into in-person events, is because people need spaces. People yes. need safe places where they can be with like minds and they can engage in healing activities, whether it's breath work or yoga or whatever it is, in a group, in community. We can't do it alone. We need to be around other people who get it, who hold us, who can share what they're going through, but then also move back into the divine masculine and hold the space for us as well, so that it's each one give and take. That is key for healing. And the more places that we have on this earth, like the ones that you're creating, the more events and spaces and community circles, the better off we're going to be. We need each other.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love how this episode has been truly holistic.
Yeah.
Like, we really have touched on everything in the realm of ourselves, you know, the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual. Truly a holistic episode. Yeah. So I just know that everyone listening is going to have the most value from this. So thank you so much for everything so far, Olivia. I want to close out the episode with just some rapid fire questions.
Let's do it.
So I'm curious to know, what is your favorite herb or your favorite product that you guys have?
My personal favorite herb is St. John's wort. Now, I have a cultural and spiritual connection to it. It's an herb that was used in Italy for protection, energetic protection, especially for those of us who tend to take on other people's energy, tend to get really fatigued or in a low mood after a lot of social stimulation, right? Like for us introverts. But it's an herb that has helped me so much with that history of depression that I mentioned earlier. Because I'm not a candidate for medication, St. John's wort is an herb that is extremely powerful when it comes to your brain serotonin levels. So you actually can't take it if you are on an SSRI. That's how powerful it is.
Wow.
But I use St. John's wort in my herbal tincture called Mood Juice.
Mm-hmm.
And Mood Juice is the formula that I used for myself to support my mood once I started getting into herbs and learning how to formulate, because I knew that I still needed a tool for those darker days. So it has St. John's wort, it has lemon balm in it as well. And those two herbs have a synergy where they're really together. They're calming, but they're very uplifting. They almost loosen you up and make you a little bit silly and just kind of change your perspective and add this brightness to you. And even the flower itself, St. John's wort, the plant, it blossoms at the summer solstice. So it's blossoming and soaking up energy from the sun on the longest and brightest day of the year. And my teachers always say that that light from the sun gets stored in the flower, and when you take that in the winter, it kind of saves some of that sun and light for your psyche seasonal depression. So
it's so beautiful.
It's an amazing herb. It's something that I always take Mood Juice in the winter because I get really bad seasonal depression. Mm-hmm. And so that's an herb that I just always lean on for that. So that's my fave.
Beautiful.
But not, again, Mood Juice is not for people who are on SSRIs. So that's the only contraindication.
Yes. I love Mood Juice. It is a great one.
It's the best. It's the best. And you can just take it on a one-off. Like, a lot of people take it for social anxiety. Like, if they're going out with friends and they're like, oh, I'm tired or I'm in a shit mood or whatever. Like
on my period or my luteal phase, you know, when I'm not feeling as ovulatory queen.
Yeah. I did it in mocktails for my wedding because I got my period on my wedding day. So.
Wow.
I literally just made, like, these, like, cute little Aperol-y mocktails with, like, a non-alcoholic Aperol syrup. And I added Mood Juice, and it's an amazing, like, functional mocktail that actually does loosen you up to go out with friends. So it's nice. It, like, it breaks the ice kind of when you need something to socially lubricate you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. I love, by the way, that this is a side note. We talked about this the other day, that you and Nick didn't drink on your wedding.
Sure didn't.
Was that the best decision ever?
It was the best thing I've ever done, I think.
Wow.
Because during our engagement party, I drank. And I drank too much.
Mm.
And it was because I felt so out of my body already. Like, I actually wasn't using my nervous system regulation techniques that day. I was feeling very separate from myself. I was not embodied. I was not grounded. Nowadays, like I've grown even since then, I would use an herb like motherwort to bring me back into my body. I love a motherwort tincture. It's an herb that's been helping me lately. I don't have it as a single in my line, but you can get it from like a Whole Foods. But nowadays I'd use that for like a racing heart feeling out of my body. But at that time I was like, all right, I'm just going to drink because I just want to like almost leave my body further because I'm so nervous and this is so much emotion yeah. at once. And sometimes it's not even that we're upset when we like leave our bodies. It's not like, okay, you know, this is a bad feeling. It's that there's so much to hold right now. This is so big. Our engagement is so big. There's so much love today. There's so much change. There's so much, you know, like connection to hold. Like sometimes our hearts just can't hold it all.
Yeah.
Life gets overwhelming in the joyful sense. So in that sense, I wasn't drinking to escape bad emotions. I was just drinking to escape the gravity of it all. And I got way too drunk and I missed out on so many moments of connection. And I looked back and was like, that didn't feel good. I want to be in my heart. I want to be present. And Nick recently also was just like, he's just like not drinking at all. So I was like, I'm going to kind of follow suit with you. And I didn't stop drinking altogether, but mostly I just don't anymore. I'd rather take a little mushrooms, honestly, when mm-hmm. I go out, like just a little microdose of mushrooms. Alcohol just doesn't do it for me anymore. So he kind of inspired me with his decision to not drink during our wedding. And I followed suit and we had the most connected time. And all of our guests were like, you were present. Like they were like, wow. I'm going to do this for my wedding. Like they could just tell that we were looking them in the eyes. We were there with them. You only get your wedding once. Oh. Like you got to be there with people.
No, literally that inspired me where I'm like, I don't want to drink at my wedding. I mean, I don't even have a boyfriend, so we have some time till then, but I completely agree with you. It's like, you want to be so present and be there so fully. That's like, alcohol takes you away from that. So yeah. Kudos to you guys. I've never heard of people doing that. So when you posted about it, I was like, go off. Yes, Olivia. Like,
it's just already beautiful. So fun and overstimulating. Like, yeah. How can alcohol enhance that anymore? Like, you're already... It's already the coolest day ever. Like, yeah. You don't need it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. One or two more rapid fire questions. Let's get into it. If somebody who's listening is very new to herbalism, herbal tinctures, even just holistic health in general, what product or thing would you recommend to them?
I think it just really depends on their goal. Mm-hmm. I think you want to sit down and you want to kind of map out the top three things that you want to work on when it comes to your physical or mental or even spiritual health.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say one of your goals is you want to feel more. You want Ooh. To cry, right? Like, let's say you're someone who's like, I know that I'm not feeling my emotions. And not only is it keeping me from crying and feeling the bad emotions, it's actually keeping me from like kind of feeling anything. And I just feel very numb and blah in my daily life. And I know that there's some stuff underneath the surface. I would then recommend something with rose in it. Like I have a tincture in my line called Flowers for My Love. And it's meant to be a tincture that helps to soften your heart so that you can not only feel more grief and actually process the difficult things in your heart, but also opens your heart up to more connection and joy.
Mm.
And that's a tincture that I recommend to people before they journal or before they go to yoga or get body work done or before they have a cry session. I love a good scheduled cry session in the mirror, by the way, because sometimes you have to actually fake cry in the mirror to get yourself to cry because of our mirror neurons. So you have to see yourself fake crying. You have to kind of like act it for a second. And once you start really acting it, all of a sudden it'll start truly happening.
Wow.
It's so powerful. We literally have these mirror neurons. And looking in the mirror is important. So that's an interesting practice. I like those kinds of herbs. But let's say your number one issue is your digestion, right? Like you're just like, gut okay, health. Gut health. I know that when I eat dairy, I feel terrible. Or like when I eat out with friends or when I'm traveling, I'm always bloated and I'm always miserable. And I have this history of gut issues. Digestive bitters, 100%. I have a formula called Digestive Juice. It's the spray formula, but a lot of different brands make bitters. I always recommend that you try whatever and figure out what works best for you. My line is not the end all be all in the world. But yeah, digestive bitters in general, any kind of bitter herbs, when you take them before meals, help to stimulate the bitter taste receptors on your tongue. And those bitter taste receptors also stimulate your vagus nerve and tell your body to actually secrete digestive enzymes as well as hydrochloric acid, your stomach acid, so that you can better break down and digest the food you're about to eat. So that is the easiest way to get into herbal medicine before even taking a probiotic, before trying any kind of a crazy diet. Just use digestive bitters before your meals. And then if you want to work on, let's say, anxiety or mental health, something like my peace juice formula. You want to look into nervines. Nervines are herbs like lemon balm, passion flower, kava, lavender, chamomile. They're these beautiful plants that have a calming effect on your nervous system. Some of them upregulate GABA, which is your calming neurotransmitter. Some of them help to settle your stomach so that your nervous system is less activated by inflammation in the GI tract. So it just totally depends what nervine is right for you, but you can try a blend like my peace juice formula. That's also a spray that you can spray on your tongue when you're feeling anxious. And these are just all ways for you to kind of like get into herbal medicine and experience the power of them. That's kind of how the juice tinctures in my line are designed, where you can use them on an as needed basis and you're like, oh shoot, this really makes a difference. And then I have formulas in my line that go deeper and get more to the root cause rather than that in the moment symptom relief. So it just all depends. And then, I mean, something that everybody can do is drink herbal infusions. If you can find some really good oat straw, you can get it from something like Mountain Rose Herbs or Star West Botanicals. There's a lot of good herbal purveyors online where you can just get bulk dried herbs. You can get a whole bunch of dried oat straw. And if you are gluten-free, you have to make sure that it's gluten-free because it's cross-contaminated. Oats are grown next to gluten, unfortunately. But you take oat straw, you put a bunch of dried oat straw in a mason jar, you fill it maybe a third of the way up in a big mason jar, you boil some water, you pour the boiled water over the oat straw herb and fill it up in the mason jar, you close it up and you let it sit on your counter overnight. Because oat straw is a very mineral-rich, nutritive herb. It's kind of like a multi-mineral supplement in plant form. And with minerals, in order to fully extract them from a plant, you need high heat and you need a lot of time. So that's why you want to do boiling water overnight. By the time you wake up and strain that oat straw infusion, which is delicious, by the way, kids love it, it's very gentle in flavor, you're going to have an extremely mineral-rich liquid that has magnesium, calcium, chromium, manganese, all of these incredible minerals that are highly bioavailable. And you can drink that when you're stressed out, when you're dehydrated. You can give it to kids whose bones and teeth are developing and they need more minerals. It's just such an easy way to get started with herbal medicine in your kitchen because it's purely nutritive. It doesn't have an antimicrobial effect or an anti-anxiety effect. It's just a nutritive herb.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So simple and like makes it so much easier to just be like, okay, grab what you need.
Yeah.
Helps you. Boom. Okay. Last question.
Yeah.
Since my whole thing is like very big sis energy, wellness big sis advice, I want to just close off the episode with any piece of advice that you wish you could give your younger self. So to all the young girlies listening to this podcast, if there was one thing you wanted to leave them with, one piece of advice, what would you tell them?
It's not what they call you, it's what you answer to. That is my favorite piece of advice. And that's not just in terms of like if someone's calling you a name or if someone's coming at you sideways. Like, for example, like let's say someone sends you a rude DM or a rude comment. In my opinion, if you entertain that person and answer them, you're answering that call. So it's not what they call you, it's if you answer to them. And it's really just no answers required. But this also applies to anyone in your real life, in your relationships, right? Let's say someone is giving you the call of disrespect, right? Someone in your life is coming at you in a way that's hurtful. They're not having good boundaries with you. It's not, like, your job is to not engage with that person further. It's actually to create distance. The best way to show your boundaries is by creating distance. That doesn't mean cutting that person out of your life. It just means that telling people your boundaries doesn't actually work. Showing them your boundaries through creating distance, whether that's talking to them a bit less or, you know, giving them less of a response when they do try to trigger you, or, you know, like just actually creating physical distance, that is the best way to handle people that are trying to hurt or disrespect you, or dysfunctional relationships where boundaries are getting really funky.
Wow. I love that. That's a great, great quote. I've actually never heard it.
I love that quote.
I love that quote. That helped
me through 10 years of social media.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Olivia. This has been such an incredible episode. I know everyone is going to love it because I love it so much. I can't wait to listen back to it as well. But I just wanted to ask you, how can everyone listening find you? Where can they get your amazing, amazing herbal formulas, products?
I got you, girl. You guys can find me on Instagram. My personal account is at organic_Olivia. And my brand is at shop_organic_Olivia. And you can buy my herbal formulas on organicolivia.com. And you guys can actually use Rebecca's code.
Yes.
Her code is Rebecca. So you can use Rebecca's code on our website to get 10% off of our herbal formulas. If you want to try anything. And we also have a quiz on our website if you want to take the quiz and get to know what would be the best fit for you. And then my podcast, Rebecca, is going to be on my show as well. Woo. So look out for that. That is What's the Juice podcast by Olivia Amatrano.
Amazing. Definitely check out Olivia's products, you guys. Use my code JustRebecca, and I know you guys will definitely love everything that you have to offer. So thank you so much again for coming on the show. We are so grateful for you, Olivia.
Thanks, Rebecca. You're the best.
Thank you.